Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. This is the guest segment. And as always, both segments are brought to you by Persona Nutrition, personanutrition.com, where you can find out what you're missing in your nutrition and what to do about it, and they provide easy solutions. PersonaNutrition.com. Thank them for bringing this to you. So we have this wonderful guest, Karen Wilson, who is both an MD and MPH, who's going to talk to us about the vaping problem, that is the problem that was associated with vaping, including these deaths, and what we know about it and what its mechanism is. If you want to find out more about Karen Wilson, and she is, if you look at the picture, not only beautiful, but look at the profile, it's really a quite remarkable career. As I said, she is the Deborah and Leon Black Chief of the Division of General Pediatrics, not a small job at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. And she's also Vice Chair for Clinical and Translational Research in the Jack and Lucy Clark Department of Pediatrics at Icahn and Mount Sinai. The website is, again, if you will, mountsinai.org/profile/Karen-Wilson. So, Karen, I apologize for such a long introduction, but you deserve even more. And I will try and remember to call you Dr. Wilson, even though I feel like calling you Karen. Wilson, is smoking the right term for what people do when they vape, or is it different than smoking?
So thank you so much, Dr. Roizen, for having me on today to talk about this very important issue. We typically use the terminology of vape to talk about using these products. And by these products, I mean things like e-cigarettes, e-hookahs, vape pens, and other contraptions that heat up a liquid using a battery, and they aerosolize the liquid into a cloud that you then inhale. And so we typically use the term vape because smoking would imply that it's actually combusted, and that it creates a smoke like you would see with a fire or with a lit cigarette.
And now, do we know why all these people are getting problems from vaping? That is it with legitimate or... I don't know whether legitimate is the right word for saying, but is it with FDA validated products, or is this only with over-the-counter products that are black market? Or what's the story, or do we know the story?
So I think it's important to recognize that the FDA doesn't really have regulatory authority over any of these products yet. They have said that they will, but they haven't actually started to evaluate the products that are on the market. So these are not what we would call, none of them are what we would call an FDA-approved product, like you would get with a nicotine replacement therapy patch or gum or something like that. And so what we do see is that there are products that are manufactured by larger companies that tend to have, at least for within the industry, more safeguards and more quality control. But now we're starting to see the proliferation of what we call, or what the CDC has found to call, bootleg cartridges. And those are cartridges that may be, you know, filled by some guy in his basement where he's manufactured either a THC-containing or a nicotine-containing liquid. And the CDC is currently, it's not 100%, but it's currently leaning in that direction as being more of the cause of these vaping-induced lung injuries than the highly manufactured kind.
Now, why would this occur, the same injury across many states? What that implies to me is that either the bootleg manufacturers are all doing it the same way, from some instruction on the internet causing injury, or the basic process of vaping, whatever it is causing a problem, or, if you will, that it's a bigger company, meaning it's a large company that's selling in multiple states. I think it's almost, and you correct me, I thought it was in over 40 states, and I think there are 10 deaths and over 700 ICU hospitalizations.
Yeah, I mean, it's so far there have been actually 14 deaths, I think, now, and there have been cases in 46 states and one territory, and I believe Canada as well. So it certainly has been, it's been widespread around the U.S. I think to your question about what could be causing this, the CDC really wants to figure that out. So far, they've had many, many people send in the cartridges that they've been using to try and figure out if there's a common thread. And there is no one company's product or no one chemical that they found thus far that's implicated. But I do think that you're right in the sense that the chemicals that you're inhaling into your lungs, you know, are precipitating something in the chemical mixture is precipitating these inflammatory responses that we see with a vaping-induced lung injury. And it may be that there's more than one chemical that's being added, maybe from something that's out on the internet or maybe through a company, but more than one chemical that can precipitate this disease.
And now, the one of the leading chemicals I understood was the oil. That is, oil is used to help, I guess, put the chemical, the THC or whatever else, into a vapor. And when you do that, put that in with the if you will, the device that heats the liquid, apparently some of the oil gets in and that oil injures the lung. Is that a mechanism? And we got asked a question, if you will, on our website when we said that you were going to come on and talk about the subject, and it was, does that mean that smoking a joint the way it was done in the old days is still the best way of getting marijuana?
The first thing I want to say is I hope you don't mind that if I correct you just a little bit, and that's that this is not a vapor that is being produced when the e-cigarette is lit. So what's actually happening is that it's creating an aerosol. So more akin to inhaling hairspray than inhaling a vapor that you might think of coming off of a steam cloud. And I think it's been marketed for a long time as being quote unquote harmless water vapor. But we know now, analyzing the components, that it really is not. It contains toxic chemicals and particulates and heavy metals and of course nicotine or THC. We try really hard to make sure that we're using the terminology that helps people understand what's actually going into their lungs. Now, as far as the lightweight pneumonia.
Let me clarify that. So the difference between a vapor and an aerosol and something that is, quote, smoked is, one, the temperature. And what else are the different characteristics? Or can you clarify that so I use the terms right?
Yeah, so vapor, now I'm not a chemist, but vapor is more like what you would get with like steam coming off of a boiling pot of water. So you have little tiny particles of water in there that's causing the vapor. But then the aerosol is the chemical components of the liquid in the cartridge are being propelled into the air, and they create a puff and a cloud. So it contains more particulates and more chemicals than you would think of with a vapor.
Gotcha. And smoke is in which category? Is it an aerosol or vapor or its own category?
So I believe it is its own category.
Okay. And so when is there a safer way? People are asking me, is there a safer way of getting THC or CBD than one of these techniques? is one of the questions we're asked. And the other one is, what is the, why do we, are we not seeing this with cigarettes themselves, or are we, or do we?
So to the second question, I do not believe that we've had similar types of cases with cigarettes. And that is one of the reasons that they are, I think, that the CDC thinks that there may be some chemical involved in the process of making these products that is causing this. Now, I don't know whether there were pockets of these cases, 40 or 50 years ago when the quality control around creating cigarettes was a little bit less stringent, the manufacturing processes. As far as what the safer alternatives are, it's very difficult for me to say that, and I certainly think that people should talk to their healthcare providers if they are, especially if they're using THC or CBD for a medical issue. Certainly, as long as you keep them away from children, the edibles can be less toxic to the lungs than either vaping or smoking these products. And that you just have to be very careful with dosing because it is metabolized through the liver. You don't feel the effects for a little bit longer than if you're smoking it. And so you may think that you're actually not getting much of a dose, and then you take another dose of it, and then you've overdosed in it, and you get pretty weird side effects.
A quick nutrition break from You, the Owner's Manual. Not sure where to start with vitamins and supplements? Do they confuse you? Persona Nutrition is making your life easier. They'll do the research for you. Take the free 5-minute assessment to find out exactly what you need in terms of a supplement. Get free recommendations based on various factors, including the prescription medications you may be taking. Some medications and supplements can interact by either reducing or increasing drug efficiency. Certain medications can even deplete nutrients, which can cause deficiencies. That's why Persona cross-checks over 1,000 prescription medications and only recommend supplements that have no negative interactions with what you're taking. Persona even divides supplements into separate packs by time of day, so you can easily take energy supplements in the morning and sleep supplements at bedtime. There's an easy way to know that you're getting exactly what your body needs when your body needs it. Get your free assessment now and get 50% off your order. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen. Half off now. personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
And by the way, I should say that we're talking with Karen Wilson, who is the... and I want to make sure I get it right. It's both Deborah and Leanne Black, Chief of the Division of General Pediatrics at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. You can see more about her by going to mountsinai.org/profile/Karen-Wilson. And obviously, the recommendation, now we're seeing at least I'm out here in Cleveland, and we're seeing a lot more high school kids using e-cigarettes and using e-cigarette delivery devices. I assume that you're seeing that in New York as well. And what would you say, how do we stop the increase, or is there an easy way of stopping the increase?
Yeah, that's such an important question, and thank you for asking it. And we are seeing many more teenagers who are using these products. And unfortunately, these new products have nicotine salts, which allows them to deliver a lot higher dose of nicotine to these teenagers. And they've been marketed with very appealing flavors and through social media and influencers that are very relevant to teenagers and young adults. And so we've seen this incredible increase in the percentage who are using it. And I'm hearing stories about, teenagers who are using the equivalent of 4 packs of cigarettes a day in nicotine, or who are waking up in the middle of the night to use because they can't go an entire night without smoking. And that rarely happens when you have somebody who's smoking combusted tobacco. So we're working really hard to figure out how to stop this. The problem is that the genie is out of the bottle, and now we have a bunch of teenagers who are addicted to nicotine, and we don't have very good programs to help them quit.
Well, I can tell you that Cleveland Clinic has a great set of programs, but we see fewer and fewer. We see adults, but fewer and fewer as time is going on, as we've helped get many off of cigarettes. So we've gone from our own employee population of around 15% 10 years ago to now under 4%. By random testing and self-report. So that's a great news story, even including dependents were under, the adult dependents were under 5%. So those are great statistics, if you will, showing success. But I'm really afraid of a new generation of smokers from the vaping products. And I guess what you're telling me, Dr. Wilson, and we're talking to Dr. Karen M. Wilson of the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai Hospital. What we're learning is really the cigarette companies or Big Tobacco or whoever is doing this has figured out how to get more kids addicted.
And I think that's a huge concern. And congratulations on those successful, you know, smoking cessation rates, because that is a very difficult. Those last few smokers have been very difficult in many places to get them to quit. And right now we are starting to work on how do we help teenagers who are already using these products, because we certainly don't want them to start smoking cigarettes and smoking combusted tobacco. What we really want them to do is to stop smoking e-cigarettes altogether and not using any kind of nicotine products. So one of the things that we are trying to encourage pediatricians to do is to consider nicotine replacement therapy, even though it's an off-label use from FDA approval is only for 18 and over. But it is acceptable to be used off-label. And so with, you know, if you have a teenager who is adult sized, there's no reason that you can't try that, and that could be helpful. And we're also recommending that, you know, you think about counseling programs that may work for substance abuse and for tobacco smoking, and whether those could be tweaked to be used for those teenagers who are using electronic cigarettes. And finally,
I should say, in the few teenagers we've gotten to work with so far, the 15 to 18 year olds, we're doing exactly that. We're following just exactly what we do for adult right. smokers. And in you know, we have limited experience, but it is seems that it is as successful. We have a large success rate, and I am very proud of that for the institution. But it seems to be working for the few teenagers we've gotten to use it in.
Great. And I think the other thing that I would add for that is that, and you, I'm sure you do this too, and I know, you know, based on your work that you would support this, and that's the lifestyle changes that can help to support better habits, things like exercising and stress reduction and eating a very healthy diet, that can all help when teenagers are trying to quit their e-cigarette use.
That's correct. So thank you. And thank you, Karen Wilson, for coming on. We've been talking with Dr. Karen Wilson, the chief of general pediatrics at the Icahn School of Medicine and at Mount Sinai Hospital. You can go and see her profile and learn more about her at mountsinai.org/profile/Karen-Wilson. Thanks very much for tuning in, downloading us. 51,000 or so of you did last week, so we appreciate it and appreciate that you are downloading us and telling your friends about us. I've got to thank Justin for engineering, as well as especially you and Persona Nutrition. Persona Nutrition at mypersona.com is our sponsor, but you, that's what motivates us. Your questions, your interest, you can always email me at drmikereelage@gmail.com with questions and comments and suggestion of guests. But in the meantime, thanks for downloading us. Do tell your friends about us. And if you have questions or concerns or want a special guest, just email me. Thanks again. We'll be back next week. Remember, the A is always the news of the week, and what it means to you. The B, wonderful guests with great information, just like Karen Wilson. Thanks again.